All right, we should be getting the bell here in just a moment. Before we get started, I have a couple of housekeeping things to take care of. When Don taught, he mentioned that we started this process and that he thought it was me trying to push him out. And so I just want to clarify, he also mentioned that he's been doing the budget since 1972, and that $2.4 million loan, we paid that off early, and that's allowed us to support other preachers and to help our brethren in Africa. And it's my opinion that other than your generosity, the thing that helped us pay that building off first was Don. And in truth, what I've always said, that if Don resigns, I'm going to be right behind him, because nobody can do what Don does. The other thing, Wednesday night, John talked about the elder-preacher relationship. And so Mark sent me a note and asked if I would read this to the class this morning. He said, "Last Sunday I preached a tough lesson that dealt frankly with the issues regarding sexuality and sexual behavior that confront us all. Many were very encouraging to me about the lesson, and I'm thankful for that. But it is vital that people understand the role the elders play in that kind of preaching. While some churches would shy away from lessons like that, deeming them too controversial or worried that they might offend people, the elders here are determined that the issues affecting our lives are addressed from Scripture in the pulpit. They don't shy away from those sermons. Instead, they demand them. They want the pulpit to be clear and bold. They expect for me to preach the Word in season and out of season. The reality is, I wouldn't want to preach for a church that doesn't want to hear all of God's Word, even the tough stuff. But going along with that, the elders here don't want a preacher that sugarcoats everything and never challenges the congregation with the Word of God, even the tough stuff. So if you aspire to be an elder, you need to know the expectation here is that the pulpit will bring the Bible right into people's lives, right where they live. I'm so grateful for that attitude in our elders here at Westside. No one shakes the elder's hand after a hot topic lesson and says, 'We appreciate that sermon, but I couldn't do what I do without their support.' I climb the steps of the pulpit every Sunday knowing the shepherds of this church back me in the proclamation of God's Word. That means more than I can ever say, and I'm convinced is an enormous part of the success God has blessed us with here. Mark." We appreciate Mark more than we can say. So, as we begin our class this morning, I'm going to ask Dale, if you would, to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. We recognize you as the ruler and creator of this world. And we are honored to be here today to study you and to draw closer to you. As we focus our time this morning on the important role of an elder, pray that you will give us insight, that you will give us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We also understand, Lord, that we may never become elders, but help us to use what we learn to speak boldly for you, to be pillars, to be men of Christ, that we take what we learn and we use it to be leaders in our community and our families. We pray, Lord, that you will guide us through this study. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When we assign these topics, and I'm going to admit to being stupid here, I actually chose this topic. And then when I started putting my lesson together, you'd be surprised how few scriptures there are about planning special events. So We are going to talk about that, though, and we're going to talk about the thought processes that the eldership here goes through when we plan those events. Back in the old building, there was a chalkboard in the elder's office, and written there in yellow chalk was a handful of names with some dates. And what that represented were gospel meetings that Westside had scheduled in the next few years. If you go in the elder's office today, you won't find a list like that. Because technically, we don't have any gospel meetings scheduled. The main reason for that is that those gospel meetings just weren't well attended. What we found is that we were serving a meal and nobody was hungry. And so we made the decision to stop, and we took our cue in that from Jesus. In Luke 8, Jesus walks away from some people when they ask him to. And he also tells his disciples in Luke 9 that they can walk away from people when they don't listen. But making the decision to stop having gospel meetings was difficult. I'm old enough to remember when gospel meetings ran from Sunday to Sunday. My parents talked about two-week gospel meetings. Sometime in my youth, those meetings became Sunday to Friday. And then shortly after that, they went either from Sunday to Wednesday or from Friday to Sunday. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Probably chief among them is the move in our society away from an agrarian lifestyle to a more urban one. But sometime after we went from three elders to seven, we made the decision to stop having gospel meetings. Sort of. Kind of. Not really. Because what eventually happened is that we started to have more special events. The truth is, people were hungry. They just weren't interested in the old gospel meeting formula. It didn't fit this church anymore. And that was a hard thing for us to decide because it looked like we were giving up, but we weren't. What we discovered is we needed to adapt. Think of it this way. In our old building, we had chalkboards in every classroom. I probably still have some books and stuff that are stained with that yellow chalk. When we moved into this building, we put dry erase boards in every classroom. Now, we have projectors in every classroom. We've adapted. If somebody came in and said, we need to go back to chalkboards in every classroom, we'd look at them like they were crazy. And if somebody came in and said, we need to go back to 4 week-long gospel meetings every year, we'd think they were crazy too. So instead, we have these special events. We have youth lectures. We have a winter singing. We have a Thanksgiving prayer service. We have a Wednesday night summer series. And we have invitation events where Mark will speak on a specific topic and it's designed for you to be able to invite your friends and family. But when you have special events, there's some questions that you need to ask. And the first one you need to ask is, what are we doing? What kind of event are we interested in? And what usually happens is that either Mark or one of the elders has an idea for a topic that we think will help this church. And so we'll start to talk about it, and eventually we'll decide how we want to deal with that. Sometimes it's a topic that can be covered in a single sermon. And if so, we'll put a bug in Mark's ear and say, the elders would like for you to cover this as soon as possible. And I'll tell you, we try not to do that too much because that places an extra burden on Mark. I'm not sure how many of you know this, but Mark has a sermon plan about 6 months out. And so when we make a request like that, he either has to push something or eliminate something. And he's always gracious to do that, and our requests usually go to the front of the line. But sometimes it may be a topic that requires a series of sermons. And so we've handled those in a couple of ways. One is the preaching theme. Mark has a preaching theme every year where we get 12 lessons on a specific subject. And many times Mark has brought us subjects that he wanted to cover. But the last few years, the elders have had ideas about what we wanted for the theme. And Mark also preaches once a month from a book of the Bible. For a while now, we've been in Samuel. That sprang from Mark preaching through the Psalms. He preached a lesson on each one of the Psalms, and then he made the mistake of asking what he should do next. And so he wound up preaching for a little over a year in Romans. But nothing that we do serves the church better than sitting down and camping in God's Word, letting God talk to us about His expectations for this church. And that's one way for us to show how much we believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures, as outlined by Paul in 2 Timothy 3. One other way that we've handled sermon series is in our Wednesday night series. Summer Wednesdays are hard. We have people out on vacation. We have people coming in on vacation here. Our classes can get a little disjointed at times. And so we started to try some different things. And we had a kind of adult Bible drill one year. John and Mark team taught on Wednesday nights one year. And what we finally settled on is our Wednesday night summer series, where we bring in a different preacher every Wednesday to speak on a topic within a theme. And this year, that theme will be evidences. And that'll begin on the Wednesday after Memorial Day. Now, here's the secret. That's the old two-week-long gospel meeting. It's just spread out over the whole summer, one Wednesday night a week. So we haven't really gotten away from the gospel meeting. We're just doing it differently. So all of those are ways that we can handle a series of lessons that we think would benefit the church. But sometimes it's not even just preaching that brings about a special service. We have our winter singing, and that's turned out to be something that people look forward to every year. That's not why we do it. We do it because we believe in the importance of worshiping God in song. And yes, it's wonderful to hear 400 or 500 people being led by really good song leaders, but it wouldn't matter if it were just our members led by someone like me, who's not very talented. Because what's important about the winter singing is that God is praised. And finally, there's other kind of special services. We have a Thanksgiving prayer service. We have a back-to-school prayer service. The last several years, Doc has organized those and does a great job with that. Again, we don't do those just because people like them. We do them because God has authorized and desires for us that we focus on some of these things for our worship. And it strengthens us, and it strengthens our relationship with God. And because we've done those kinds of services, it gives us something that we can draw on when we need it. For instance, when the attacks happened on 9/11, it was very natural for us to put together a prayer service on that next Wednesday. And that was both a strength and a comfort to our members here that we were able to do that. And there's other special services. We You know, we had a service recently where everything pointed towards the Lord's Supper, taking that at the end. And those are good to help us remember why we're here. And they're especially helpful sometimes when Mark is out of town. They fit in that slot. VBS is another special service. That's great for our kids. And probably the best thing about VBS is the number of people that it involves. And James and Kelly are handling that now, and they're doing a great job. So those are the things that we do, the special services that we plan and how we go about thinking about those things. But then, having answered the what question, we need to answer the who question. Who is this for? And the reason we want to ask that question is because it determines some of the other factors that go into the planning. For instance, youth lectures is for more than just this church. It's bigger than that. Yes, we have a target audience. We tell the speakers coming to youth lectures to gear their sermons for the average 14-year-old. But we also have parents coming who bring kids. We have church leaders coming who bring groups of kids. So this is very much bigger than Westside. Now, let me be clear. I'm talking about it's bigger in its appeal. It would be totally inappropriate and wrong for us to plan something so big that we needed other churches to assist us in putting it together. But Youth Lectures appeals to more than just Westside. And again, that's not the point. We never want to do anything for the sake of numbers. But we do this and a lot of people show up. But it wouldn't matter to us if nobody showed up but our young people. That's why we're doing it. The history of that event, though, shows us that we're going to have a lot of people here. And that makes a difference in how the event is planned. We're going to need to bring in chairs. We're going to need, in some cases, to find housing for some kids that are coming. We're going to need to match our theme to speakers who can make that theme come alive. And all of that is to say, if our target is bigger than just Westside, it's going to require more planning. That said, some events are just for Westside. And that doesn't mean we're going to turn visitors away. We would never do that. But when we're planning, we're asking, how does this best feed our people? This is probably where most of our special events fall. The preaching theme, prayer services, Lord's Supper services, all of those kind of things are going to be things that we believe Westside needs. And we want to do things to feed the sheep here and do what we can to strengthen them. As for planning, those events look different. We don't need extra chairs. We don't need lodging. What we do need and what we try to do is to talk about them. And we want to start making announcements to remind people that this event is coming and you don't want to miss it. Now, here's the caveat. If you're going to tell people you don't want to miss this event, then it needs to be an event that they don't want to miss. We want to do things at a very high level. This is not... Max, if you'll pick out a couple of songs, and Ted, if you'll pick out some scriptures to read, and Doc, if you'll line some guys up to lead prayer. No, this is well-planned, well-prepared, done ahead of time so that nobody's just winging it. We don't want people winging it. It serves us well, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 14, it serves us well to remember Paul's admonition here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, but all things should be done decently and in order. We're not winging it. We want things done at a high level. And if you come to us with an idea for a special event, you better have an idea about how we can do that at a high level, because that's what we're going to be interested in. Sometimes you may decide you want to do something for a smaller group. And again, this will impact how you go about planning it. It may be that it fits better in a Bible class. Ted and Marva have taught a marriage class. So have Melinda and I. In some ways, the breakout sessions that we do at youth lectures fit right here, where we'll have specially targeted groups and we'll set up speakers to meet those special needs, high school boys, high school girls, college age. We'll try to fit the teacher to those groups. We're currently working on a couple of events like that. We're going to have a special Saturday for our singles, and then we're going to have a Sunday for our more senior members. Just by way of example, if you look at the singles, that's not a very big group. If you go through the directory and count, it's less than 20. And it can be easy to overlook their needs. But if you think about it, serving God as a single person looks different than serving God as a husband or a father, those kind of things. And so what we want to do is do what we can to help them in the place where they're at. We're trying to reach everybody where they're at. But those events are that event, the singles event, will probably take place in one of these classrooms like this. But whether the event is big or it's just for Westside or it's for a small group, the logistics and planning are going to be different, and those are things that you have to consider as you plan those events. We also want to look at when do we want to do things? And I won't spend as much time on this, but here's just a couple of things to consider. The first thing we're going to ask is this something we can do on a Sunday? And if it is, that's when we want to do it. Because when you start planning things on days other than Sunday, then you have to start looking more at things like the time of year. For instance, the beginning of the school year is difficult. The time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is impossible. Summer means that you're going to have people on vacation. So if it fits on a Sunday, that's when it's going to happen. It may be that it's bigger than a single service, and so you want to do a weekend. But if you're going to do that, there's still things you got to keep in mind. You still have those issues that I just mentioned about timing, but you also need to really promote. You can't get up one Sunday and say, oh, next weekend we're going to have a series of lessons on such and such, and we want everybody to come. No, you got to give people time. You got to have ample opportunity for them to plan their lives around it so that they can come. You want to give them reminders so that when something comes up, they go, oh, that date's already taken. We can't do that. And finally, you have to consider other churches. The church at Kleinwood has a big singing every year. There's been a couple of times when our youth lectures has bumped up against that, and we try to avoid that if at all possible. We try to think about other churches when we schedule our events. And there may be some things that require more than a weekend, and that's going to require more careful thought. That's why the preaching theme is always on the same Sunday every month. We get 12 lessons. Everybody knows when it's coming, and we're able to provide something special that's bigger than just a single Sunday. That's also where that Wednesday night summer series fits. Again, if I told you we're going to have a 2-week-long gospel meeting, I might not get out of here. But if I tell you We're going to have 10 lessons on evidences, one every Wednesday night. People are going to make plans to be here for that. They're going to want to hear as many of those as possible. And finally, we want to talk about how. And we've talked about a little of this along the way, but if you're going to have an event, you got to figure out how you're going to do it. A couple of things. You're going to want to invite people. First, you have to invite speakers. And I'll just say this because it fits right here. Sometimes, usually in the fall, Mark will be gone several Sundays. And usually we'll get some complaints about how much he's gone. Well, we need to remember this. We want the very best speakers when we have special events. And if we expect guys to come here, we have to be willing to let our guy go sometimes to other places. And we are looking to invite the best guys. And so we also want to take care of those guys. We want to pay them well. Our youth lecture speakers come and they get goodie baskets prepared by some of the women here and some of the teenagers here. We want to do things, again, at a high level so that those guys go, I'll come back and do that. You know, if we don't treat guys right and we call them on youth lectures and say, hey, would you like to come speak at youth lectures? I think I'm booked. But if we treat them right, if we treat guys well, they'll get that. They'll come. But the other thing is you want to invite others, and so you're going to need flyers. You're going to need graphics to post on social media. And what really needs to happen is you're going to want people to invite. So look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 40. John 1 and verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Then flip over to John the 4th chapter, just a couple of pages over. John chapter 4 and verse 28. This is when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Verse 28, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" I'll tell you what, there is no gimmick, and churches have tried every gimmick in the world, there is no gimmick that will beat people inviting their friends to come and hear. People understand when you care about them. And so you want to plan events and give your people something that they can say, I want you to come hear this. This is important to me. I think it'd be important to you. Nothing replaces that. In addition, you're going to have to think about some of those logistical things that we've talked about. If you need more chairs in the auditorium, you're going to need some people to move chairs. If you need lodging for kids, you're going to need somebody who's willing to open up their home and have kids stay there. If the kids need a meal, you're going to need somebody to plan that. If you're going to have a small event back in these classrooms, then when people come in the building, you're going to need people at the doors to say, hey, that event's down here in this hallway, in this classroom, and send them that way. If you're going to have handouts, you're going to need people to copy those handouts. And all of those things point to getting more people committed to making the event special. You've all heard the old coach's story about the difference between involvement and commitment. It's like ham and eggs. The chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. We want people to be committed. And we want to put their commitment to work. Here's the thing. Elders can move chairs. Elders can stand at the door and tell people where they need to go. Elders can have kids stay in their home. Elders can feed people. And I can assure you that none of the seven of us think that we're too good to do any of those things. In fact, if you look around this room at the chair setup, just before we started this class, the chairs were all in disarray, and one of our elders came up, Ted, and put all these chairs in place. So I know elders can do that. But when we let other people do that, and not just physical things, but leading prayer in prayer service, reading scripture in those services, when we let other people do those things, their faith, their commitment grows. And you also need to consider that some people are never going to stand up and preach or lead singing. It's just not in their makeup. Turn to Mark the 14th chapter. Mark chapter 14 and verse 6. This is the incidents where the woman is anointing Jesus. And in verse 6, Jesus says, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body for beforehand for burial." Let people do what they can. So if you're planning special events, get more people committed to that event. That builds on the faith of this church. Sometimes people think it's strange that Westside doesn't have any gospel meetings. But I hope I've been able to show you this morning that by having these special events, even when those things are just for our members, it helps us to grow. And I hope that you've been able to see that planning special events takes a lot of thought and even more effort. But mostly, I hope you've been able to see that this is something else that shepherds can do to feed the flock and to strengthen the flock. And as always, I appreciate these men that I serve with because they're all committed to things like that. Any questions or ideas that you want to ask? Jonathan?
So having benefited from special events, I guess the question that came to mind is, do you have, as elders, specific things that you do to gauge how effective an event was in reference to that?
Yeah, it's mostly what we hear. We're always looking for feedback from people. And we get that feedback, and so, you know, immediately after youth lectures, for instance, we'll have a meeting and we'll talk about what we heard. Mark usually comes in after youth lectures, and we examine it from his point of view, and we look at all of those things, trying to figure out, is this helpful? And sometimes you just have to go ask people, was this helpful? Anything else? Doc?
You know, Rusty, one event you didn't mention that I think was, may have some application, what Jonathan asked, was when we did the race relations, I guess I'd call it a series. Whatever. I think we all wondered how that would be perceived and how that would go over. there is a lot of trepidation around that event. And, you know, Jonathan, one of the things you can always look at is how well is an event attended. If you have something and then look at attendance and hardly anyone's there, you go, well, I guess we didn't have a lot of people that had that need. So attendance is a good marker. We get emails from people, too. A lot of them go to Mark. Some of them go to us. But, you know, we try to encourage feedback, but especially with special events like that one. That was a very unique event.
Yeah.
And it was kind of scary, to be honest with you. So.
Brad, did you?
Yeah, I was just going to say, another real advantage of an event that takes place during the summer series is there's always a meal list, and it's so rewarding that individuals get to take these preachers out for a meal before the service, and you get to meet these other guys. You know, I think that's just a great advantage, like you were saying, of this special event.
We want more people doing more things. The more that we can do, and you know, you may look at that and say, oh, it's just feeding somebody. That's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. 'Cause the guy's got to eat. And so, you know, we need somebody to take care of that. It is a big deal. John?
Yeah. Let me tag on to that. A few years ago when Warren Schultz, who's a preacher in South Africa that we work with, was here in town, Lori and I ended up going to dinner with he and Ivy and his wife. And, you know, it was going to be a dinner just to kind of get to know. We ended up spending about 3 hours together talking about the work there. And really, in a lot of ways, that was somewhat the impetus for getting to know him and his work and what we do for him. And I can't stress enough how fruitful and important and just great that particular meeting, that dinner, that just going to get a little food turned out to be for I think Christians in lots of different places. So you just don't know, I think, sometimes what a simple meal can turn out to be.
And that ended up with John and Mark and Josh going over to South Africa and spending time there and getting opportunities to preach to those people. So so you never know what's going to come out of what you may think is a small thing. Oscar?
Yeah, I know we came from a difficult time, especially with COVID and all that, and it was hard to get together and all that, but, and I know it's not part of worship like that, but I do enjoy when we get together, we plan something like a meal together as a church outside the, you know, or the building and all that. A few times we've done it, I enjoy it because I get to meet people, you know, that are my fellow Christians who see the other side of the building, like perhaps, you know. I don't know if that's something the elders have control over or not.
Not really, because it's not a work of the church, but there are some, usually we will find ladies who are interested in putting something like that together, and they'll handle that for us. That's generally how we handle that, because you don't want to eat our cooking. Anything else?
Yeah, Rusty, our youth lectures is planned and coordinated the weekend after a large group of kids have been at the FC camp. And so their enthusiasm about being together is really high, and I think that's really paid off the weekend after.
Yeah, they are in camp all week together, and so then the next weekend, youth lectures comes up, and they all want to get back together. And so that's been huge for us to be able to do that. Alex?
I know you mentioned perceiving the needs of people here. What are some ways you about identifying, you know, maybe it's these lectures topic or the preaching theme, you know, what are some ways you guys kind of monitor that and are trying to be one step ahead of that, so to speak?
Just talk to people.
Yeah.
Find out what people are talking about. Sometimes there'll be stuff in the news that is big, and you know, that we'll think, we ought to cover that. But most of it's just talking to people, what people think they need. Anything else? There's the bell. Saved by the bell. Thank you for your attention.